You remember that, was it last week I said that my theme for this morning was going to be for the importance of us shining as light in this dark world. And chosen the theme because over the last few weeks, as I've been reading the Word and as I've been reading various books, because I've usually got more than one book on the go at a time, and so going from between the different books and just reading and studying and meditating, it seemed as if this theme of shining as a light seems to be coming out very strongly. And as we've come for the last couple of Wednesdays for a prayer meeting, and we've been praying for, in particular, for the children and the young people that are belonging a part of us here as a church here in Gateshead, it has been that we've been praying that God will protect them in this dark world in which we're living in. And the answer is going to be for the light to shine, isn't it? To shine into the very depths of their souls and into their beings. And so I just went to some verses of scripture to look at the subject of light, and we'll just see how far we get this morning with the references that I've got this morning. But shining as light in this dark world. We've looked just recently about being filled with the Spirit, the importance of being sanctified, and so we know the importance of being salt in this world, but also we are called to be light in this dark world. And we all know, don't we, the importance of light in the natural. And we, you know, if you're like me, you love these longer days where there's more light rather than darkness, and we know how important light is in everything else. When we brought the house that we're moved into now, one of the first things we wanted to do was to change some of the lights, because obviously the builders, they put the basic fittings in, and we wanted to get some different lights. We wanted something that was better, something that was brighter, and something that was a little bit more attractive. And so it is with us, isn't it? When Christ comes into our hearts and into our lives, he makes us as lights better, he makes us brighter, and he makes us more attractive. We wanted lights that would stand out. But we had a problem, because when we went to look at the different places that sold the light fittings and that, because of the pandemic, there was a shortage. Wherever we went, we saw the display, we like that one. You go down to where the selection was, out of stock. And it just seemed to happen wherever we went, but eventually we managed to get the lights that we wanted. And I want to suggest first of all today that there must never be a shortage of light in this dark world, because we fail to be the light that God has called us and saved us to be in this dark world. So as I say, I'm going to go through some references, and we're going to contemplate some of the important features of us being called as light in this dark world. First one we're going to go to is Matthew chapter 5, and some well-known verses to us are verses 14 to 16. And this is Jesus talking on the Sermon of the Mount. He's already said that you're the salt of the earth, but then he goes on in verse 14 to say, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You are the light of the world. We know the background to this statement. Jesus had been with the crowds, and it says there in verse 5 that seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. So I think that this sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount was primarily for the disciples, for those that he'd called to be with him. And he began to teach them, and he began to instruct them. And we find that the crowd began to listen in as well. So much so that when we come to the end of this sermon, it says there in one of the verses that the crowd were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. And so immediately Jesus commenced with what we call the Beatitudes. those beautiful attitudes, and then he follows on from that to say that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, etc. So let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Notice that after the Beatitudes, Jesus immediately tells, and I think first and foremost, it's to the disciples, you are the salt and you are the light in the world. And he makes those statements before he begins to go into what are the ethical and the spiritual matters. And if you go through Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, I'll just read what it says, as little headings as we go along. It says that Christ came to fulfill the law. Then he talked about anger. Then he talked about lust. Then he talked about divorce. Then he talked about oaths. Then he talked about retaliation. Then he talked about loving your enemies. Then he talked about giving to the needy. Then he talked about prayer. Then fasting. Then he talked about storing up treasure in heaven. Then he talked about not being anxious. Then he talked about judging others. Then ask and it will be given. Then the golden rule. Then a tree and its fruits. And then build your house on the rock. In other words, build your lives on this foundation, which I'm giving you in this message, this sermon that I'm sharing with you. So what he's doing is he's letting them know you are the light. And so I want you to be the light in this dark world. Where you see divorce, where you see anger, where you see retaliation, where you see judging and all these other things, I want you to be light shining in the dark. I want you to be different. I don't want you to be like everyone else is. And so this morning to start, you are the light of the world. Then take that phrase and put your name there. So for example, Hayden, you are the light of the world. Edwin, you are the light of the world. Sandra, you are the light of the world. Tim, you are the light of the world. And we could go right through the building and mention each one this morning. You are the light of the world. And as the moon reflects the light of the sun, so you and I should reflect the light of the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question we need to ask in this dark world in which we're living in, it is this: what kind of lights are we? What kind of lights are we? Are we low wattage or are we bright wattage? Are our lives good reflectors? And this surely indicates the need of a clean and holy life in all of our living to enable the light to shine as it should. And then we move to the second, which is John chapter 8 and verse 12. And I'm really going to be brief on these verses. John chapter 8 verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It says here very clearly that if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have the light of life. We have the light. In other words, we have Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me, then you have the light of life. So we have Jesus. And as we allow his light to lighten our lives, we should shine in such a way that those around can see it. They can see the light of the gospel shining through us. And I think from that verse there's just one simple and possible application. And it is this: are we hiding the light? Are we hiding the light? Are we ashamed or are we embarrassed about our faith? When we're mixing with other people, when we're walking in this world that is in darkness, are we ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we embarrassed to talk about our faith and to mention the Lord Jesus Christ? Then if we are, then we're hiding Jesus. And if we're hiding Jesus, we're hiding the light of the world. And we're hiding the light from the world. The light that the world needs to see. And we've received that light. And we need to show forth that light. And then the next one is in Acts chapter 13. and verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. A light to the Gentiles. Now, to understand what Paul is saying here, is that you're a light to the Gentiles. The implication is that the Jew, in comparison to the Gentile, and I'm talking of the saved Jew here, not those that are still following Judaism, but the Jew that has committed his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what Paul is saying, you are a part of the household of God. The believing Jew, you are now the household of God. And in comparison, the Gentile wasn't. And you know what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, that we were alienated. That is the Gentile. We're alienated and cut off from God. We were not part of the household of God. And so the application here is that you are a light to the Gentiles, is that all who are saved, who are a part of the household of God, then as such, you are a light to the unbeliever. We have to bring it to a modern application. You are a light to the unbeliever. You are a light to all who are outside of the household of God. And so when we look at it that way, it implies quite simply this. We, who are of the household of God, we are the light to the unsaved family member. We, who are of the household of God, we are the light to the unsaved work colleague. We, who are of the household of God, we are the light to the unsaved in our neighborhood. And we are the light to the unsaved in our communities. It is the whole unsaved world that is outside of God. And we are called to be the light to the unbeliever. The light to the one who has no faith. The light to the one who says there is no God. The light to the ones who participate in another faith or worship other gods, the gods of this world. We are the light to every man and woman who is still in their sin and are alienated from God, as we were before we came to faith. Those that are still spiritually dead, we are, we need to be, and we must be the light to shine in the darkness, showing Jesus to them in the darkness in which they are found. Let me move to Romans 13. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation as well for this one. First of all, from the English Standard Version, Romans 13, 11 to 14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarrelling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. In verse 12 from the New Living Translation, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armour of right living. It is so important, as it is with all scripture, to read any part within the context in which it is found. And when we read these verses, and in particular verse 12 there, we need to read it within the context. And we need to heed the advice or the warning that is given. It is a sad fact when we read those verses again. There, let me read them again. The night is far gone. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarrelling and jealousy. And we could put a much wider and longer list there. It's important that we live according to what the Word of God is, but it's a sad fact that many who claim to be believers live very little differently to the world. It's a sad fact. We see it, we hear it. And I want to suggest this morning, and not only suggest, I believe it's, as we come to the Word of God, we find it to be, we cannot live like the world and be light. We can't. We cannot live like the world and be light, because to live like the world is to participate in its darkness. And we find that this is repeated again in my next reference, which is in Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 to 9. It says there, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when everything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, arise, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Let's note what it says in verse 9 again. "For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." We need to be reminded of what James had to say in his epistle. "Did you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." We can't walk in the light and at the same time live as if we're in the darkness. It's one or the other. And God has called us out of the darkness, and he's called us into his light. Notice as well there in Ephesians that it uses the phrase that was also found in the verses from Romans 13 about sleeping. Sleeping. It talks about the sleeping church. It talks about the sleeping believer. And I think that when we apply it for the day in which we're living in today, I believe the sleeping church and the sleeping believer needs to wake up. We need to take note of how darkness is penetrating our society. And we need to begin to be the light we have been called to be. This dark world needs us. It needs you. It needs me. Not to participate in their darkness, but it needs us to be light, shining in the darkness. Now we go to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 14 to 15. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labour in vain. We could ask the question, what kind of world are we living in? And you could give all sorts of answers. And it could so easily be described as here in this verse. The New Living Translation says, full of crooked and perverse people. The NIV says, a warped and crooked generation. The English Standard Version says, a crooked and twisted generation. The King James Version says, a crooked and perverse nation. In Matthew 17:17, Jesus used a phrase, the King James Version says, a faithless and perverse nation. I'm sure that however we'd like to describe the generation, the society that we're living in, we would surely say that it is an ungodly and it is a perverse generation. Therefore, if we would describe it as such, it is vital, it is urgent that in the midst of it, we continue to shine as lights, offering hope and giving direction. See, the perverse society that we're living in would not only love to see us asleep, as these verses were talking about, but the perverse society would also love to snuff the light out. And if there's anything that the world is doing today, it's trying to snuff out the light of the gospel and the light of the church. And I think that what is evident is this, that more perverse this world becomes, and it is becoming more perverse week after week, month after month, the more perverse this world becomes, it will end up with countless numbers of lives that will be empty, that will be broken, lives that will be hurting, and we're going to have a society around us that's going to crumble. And it's going to crumble because it has thrown away the building blocks that God has put in place for a proper society. And with the onslaught at this moment of promotion for the LG, whatever it is they call it, the onslaught, we need to realize that a wrong interpretation of sexuality and of sexual relationships and of marriage can only lead to brokenness and to disintegration. It's so sad. Over this last week, following the month in which gay pride seems to have hijacked the month of June, and it's been everywhere. You can't go anywhere. You can't walk anywhere. You can't visit any shop without seeing it promoted and pushed in your face because of this perverse society in which we're living in. It's so sad that the fourth largest Christian denomination in the United Kingdom this week voted by a massive majority to endorse same-sex marriage. It's so sad that even the church, within the church, there are those who are trying to snuff out the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need the light to shine in the darkness more than ever before. We need light that shines from Christian marriages and families. We need godly marriages and relationships. We need Christian homes and godly homes where the light is shining in this world of darkness. And in the light of it all, with all I've had to say and to share, shine, Jesus, shine. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land again with the Father's glory. And then church, shine, church, shine. Stop flirting and compromising. Return to righteousness so that the light will really glow and shine in our nation. And shine, individual believer, shine. Start counting the cost. See what it really is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and live as light in the darkness. We cannot and never ever must settle for anything less than total surrender to the claims of the gospel and the message of the gospel. If we compromise truth, if we flirt with the world, we are dimming the light till eventually it will be snuffed out. One final scripture. What is the gospel all about? Colossians 1, 12 to 13 says this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And what has he done? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. It's good news. That's what the gospel is all about. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So what is the gospel all about? It's all about being delivered out of darkness and into the light. So if that's happened, if the blood of Jesus Christ has saved us and forgiven us and transferred us from darkness to light, then why on earth would we want to go back into the darkness? Let's keep in the light. Let's stay in the light. And to return to finish again to Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. Hayden, speaking to myself, you are the light of this world. And personalize it even more. Hayden, you are the light in Catskill Grange. That's the road where we live. You are the light in Catskill Grange. Let your light shine before everyone else who lives there, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do the same for yourself in the road where you're living in, the community around you. You are the light that's been set in that place. Let your light shine before your neighbours so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's be lights. Let's be lights. Let's be true to the message of the gospel. Let's not walk in darkness. Let's not flirt with darkness. But let's allow our lives to be lives where the beauty of Jesus will shine brightly to those around us. Because without the light, this world would be an even darker place. So let's be lights for his glory. Amen.